Welcome to another edition of the Gospel Mailbox. I'm Donnie Bryson, and as always, if you want to get in touch with us here at the Gospel Mailbox, you can contact me via my cell phone, 423-544-0623, or via the mail at P.O. Box 2446, Chattanooga, Tennessee 37409, or you can contact us via the internet through our website, www.gospelmailbox.org. We're continuing on with our series on the great doctrines of the Bible. We're on session number 39, and this is the fifth in our session on the doctrine of faith. And we have spent a good bit of time tarrying on faith, and I'm going to try to wind this one down either this week or next week so we can start on some of the other doctrines. But as I have said before, and I'll say it again, faith is a very critical doctrine in the Bible, and something that people misunderstand often by calling the wrong thing faith, and something we do need to stop and examine what the Bible says. Now let's talk a little bit about what the meaning of the word faith means in particular. For example, in connection with the name of God, Hebrews 11:6, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him." And we also see in Acts 27:22-27, and this of course is when Paul was in the shipwreck. They were about ready to be shipwrecked. He was on his way, and he had warned them not to make the journey at that time, and they had not heeded his warning. But Acts 27:22-27, "And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. For when the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down in Andrea, about midnight the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country." So we see that how that the relationship between having faith and not being afraid. And we also see the relationship between having faith and being one of the Lord's. Because we notice how that Paul said, God whom I am God's. He was a part of the family. He was a member of God's team. And Paul knew that. And there was comfort in that. And also, too, there was the fact that he had faith in God. He took God at his word, at his promise. And we see how that because of that faith, that he wasn't full of fear. Now, I don't want people to, sometimes we have these verses in the Bible and people will use it to condemn folks unnecessarily. Like, for example, the verses in the Bible that talk about healing. And then people will sit there and browbeat other folks that are sick and act like they are sinning because they are sick. And same way with how that people will talk about, or the Bible talks about in places where God will supply all of our need. And then you'll see other times, or you'll see times where folks who'll have plenty will sit there and browbeat people who have nothing and act like they are sinning because they don't have anything, because of the verses in the Bible that promise God will supply our need. Well, the same thing holds true with faith and fear. If you are in a situation and you are fearful, don't let someone browbeat you for being fearful. If you're sitting in the doctor's office waiting for them to come back to tell you whether or not you've got breast cancer or not, you'd be a little bit on the stupid side if you wasn't a little bit concerned. If your child has been out all night, you don't know where they are, and you're afraid they may be in some kind of meanness, or they may have gotten out and gotten hurt, you would be a little bit not mentally stable if you wasn't concerned about that. The thing that the Bible's talking about being courageous and having fear cast out of us is a promise that God's going to be our comfort in everything. And so don't feel all this condemnation when you feel this kind of fear and when you're fearful of things that happen in the course of our lifetimes. Don't feel condemnation. And don't approach it from that aspect. Concentrate on God's promises and how much comfort they are. I don't want you to think of being fearful so much as being a sin, as it is of not fully utilizing all of God's resources for you. The same way with it's the same kind of situation if you are needing money. The absence of money is not a sin. The absence of health is not a sin. Being overcome by fear is not a sin. The thing that you got to approach that with is you got to utilize the resources that God makes available to you. So if you are being full of fear, you need to start utilizing, laying claim on the promises of God, and having that fear fall from you as you begin to concentrate on the promises of God and laying hold of the promises of God and having more faith, and approach it from that aspect. And when you are thinking of the subject of fear, concentrate more on yourself than the people around you. And by that I mean, don't go around constantly browbeating other people, saying, "Oh, well, you shouldn't worry about that. That's just a lack of faith. You're sinning." You know, when you're talking to a mother who has got a child, a grown child, that is in a state of rebellion and is playing with things that can have dire consequences, it's pretty heartless to look at that mother and say, don't worry. Worrying is a sin. It's more important to tell your friend that you're going to be praying with them. You're going to be believing the promises of God with them. And encourage, of course, encourage them to pray and believe God. But I see way too much of people just browbeating each other for being sick or being poor or being overcome with worry, having a lot of anxiety, you know, concentrating on browbeating people when it's really a question of laying hold of the promises of God. So much for that. Let's go on. Romans 4:19-21, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. Now let's talk about Abraham. Considered not his own body now dead. When he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that he had promised was also able to perform. Then Genesis 15:4-6, and behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he, this is when God was talking to Abraham about Isaac, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad, and said, look now, even toward the heaven and toward the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, he shall be thy seed. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. So we see how that, with the story of Abraham and Isaac and Sarah, how that Abraham was such an old man, and how that God had promised that he was going to raise up a seed, and how that this Abraham believed God and it was counted for him for righteousness. So the important thing for us to understand about faith at this point has how that to come to God and get your prayers answered, you have to believe God exists, and you have to believe that he is the rewarder of them that seek him. I mean, that's a critical part of seeking the face of God. You know, people that say prayers that are only doing it out of habit and on the outside chance that there may be a God out there, now, that's not real. That's not faith. And God doesn't honor that. We have to believe that God exists. Then we see in Luke 11:5-13, and he said unto them, and he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his opportunity he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, shall he give him a stone? And if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, shall he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Excuse me. So we see that in these verses how that Jesus is talking and comparing our praying to God with someone who comes to a friend in the middle of the night and knocks on the door and asks the friend for some loaves of bread, and how that the friend keeps asking and doesn't give up on getting that bread, and how that the friend would give the bread even if he wasn't his friend at the door. And just because his friend was not going to go away until he got the bread. And Jesus makes an interesting point about praying and seeking the face of God for things. And it's one that's an important point because it has been played with in popular culture, in popular media, and not so much with God, but it's given us overtones. Not so much with God, but with stories about genies and how that people will make deals with the devil. Which I don't really believe you can do, but yeah, that's a topic for a different day. But the idea is that yes, you get what's in the contract. You get specifically what you want in the contract. But it doesn't work out the way you want it to work out. You know, for example, someone may ask for immense beauty, and they get the immense beauty, but then they find out that the only thing people want is to be seen with them, and no one really cares about them as a person. So they get what they ask for, but they don't get happiness. Someone may get wealth in the same kind of situation. They get the extreme wealth, and then they find out that they have no real friends after they get the real wealth, because people are only after their money. You know, and even the story of King Midas, and if you'll remember the story from school, according to the story, King Midas got the Midas touch, where everything he touched turned to gold. That's what he wanted. And sure enough, everything he touched turned to gold. But the man couldn't eat, because the minute he went to touch the food, it turned to gold, and he couldn't eat gold. So he ended up starving to death. So, you know, what Jesus is the point Jesus is making here is that God, I mean, we're asking him for things. And yes, we ask him, he meets our need, but he's looking out for us. See, he's not up there trying to trick us into asking for something stupid and then giving us the something that's stupid just to make us miserable. See, God loves us, and he is an all-knowing God that we are requesting these things from. And he has our best interest and our family's best interest at heart. So when he goes to give us something, it is for, when he goes to give us something, it is for our benefit. It is a good gift. It's not something to destroy us. He's not up there trying to trick us. And specifically, Jesus says, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? In the same way, you know, about people receiving the baptism in the Holy Ghost. You know, when you seek the face of God, he wants to give you a good gift, not something to destroy your life. He wants to give you a good gift. I mean, I know of people, you know, and y'all forgive me for getting a little Pentecostal here, but I have to. I mean, just because that's something that the verse is talking about. I know of people who are afraid to come around Church of God and Assembly of God churches because they're afraid that speaking in tongues might rub off on them. Well, it might. You could receive the baptism in the Holy Ghost. That's the truth. But the bottom line to it is this. Is that God wants to give you good gifts. And don't be afraid of the things that God would give you. And we can expand that for those of you that are not Pentecostal. Again, excuse me. We could expand that to include things like people are afraid to go around missionaries because they're afraid that they'll receive the call to go into the mission field. So they'll avoid every mission conference in the world because they're afraid that they may get the call to go to the mission field. And we need to understand that the being that we are serving is all-knowing, and he has our best interest at heart. And when we start playing these games with God, it is the ultimate lack of faith and trust. See, what we're basically saying is that we don't trust God to have our back. We don't trust God to take care of us. We don't trust God to look out after us and our family. And see, that's a huge problem. Huge problem. So, again, this is an important thing, an important thing, the point that Jesus is making. And it's an important part of faith. It's not just merely what we pray for that we have faith in. It's not the circumstances we are in we have faith in. It is in the all-knowing God who has our best interest at heart that we have faith in. You see, and also too, and we're pretty much we're going to have to this may be the last thing I have to say, is we have to have faith in who Jesus is. Not just faith in God, generically. I mean, not just the touched by the angel kind of faith, where you sort of believe there is a supreme being and that he created the universe and, you know, he sends angels around, and that's about the full extent of it. But you have to have faith in who Jesus is, and you have to have faith in Jesus. John 9:35-38. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, this is the blind man who was blind and was cast out of the synagogue. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, "Dost thou believe on the Son of God?" And he answered and said, "Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him?" And Jesus said unto him, "Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee." And he said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshipped him. John 10:25-30. Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you believed not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give then to them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which is greater than me, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." You have been listening to the Gospel Mailbox. I'm Donnie Bryson. If you would like to contact us, you may contact us. The Gospel Mailbox, P.O. Box 2446, Chattanooga, Tennessee 37409. Call me, 423-544-0623, or on the internet, www.gospelmailbox.org. This has been the Gospel Mailbox, where we bring Christ's love letter to you.